Welcome, 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 everybody, to another Sunday of Platinum Queen West with your host, Shonda, Chili Cheer, where my little brother at. We got Don, Calypso, working the switchboard, and my other brother, Ronan. Well, hello, everybody. How y'all doing on this Sunday?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Hey, I'm doing well. I'll be sitting on the switchboard for a little bit as I eat this delicious lunch / dinner my wife cooked, and then I'll be joining you guys later. But I'm still listening.
Sounds good. That sounds good. That's what I'm doing, doing it early and knock it out the way. Well, let me first tell the people.
Oh, yeah. We got everybody. Some candied yams. We got some mashed potatoes. Not mashed potatoes. Got some, we got some mac and cheese. It looks like she made some turkey. Oh, yeah. I'm getting spoiled. I feel sorry for you folks.
Man, she did. That's how you do a Sunday dinner. Y'all could COD me one iPad on my end. Send me a plate. COD, I'll pay for it on my end.
Only if you pay the shipping charges.
I got that. Cash on delivery, I got that. That's no problem. And thank you, Self-Guided, for joining us and welcome guests in the chat room. Today's topic is going to be, what do you value? I was speaking to Rona, and man, Chill, I had called you a couple times. I really wasn't going to do the show. It was so draining because of the kids. It's just been real hectic, and I spoke to one of the teenage girls' parent, Jazz. They didn't want me to say too much because they didn't want it to make it where her father felt, where we were not so much using her but making her the topic. But I just want people to be cautious that it's a lot of kids in pain, and we just have to be careful with some of the things that we say on the show, because this little girl tried to take her life going through the 15-year-old who was pregnant, who didn't know who the baby daddy was, but some things came out. And I hate to get too much because I talked to her mother nice enough to tell me, if you tell her mother to call me if she needs to talk, she's in the hospital. She'll be out soon. I told her to keep me, you know, abreast of everything going on with her, you know, but she was listening to the show, and when Double Up made a comment, and I'm going to have to really re-listen, because she said he said that the kids are stupid. I thought what he said was they either make stupid decisions, but I'm going to have to re-listen to it. But we just got to be careful with certain things people say, because you don't know what these kids are going through. Like I said, her being pregnant, some kids teen bullying, some kids don't confuse with their sexuality. It's so much that's going on. So that's what made me wanted to ask people, what do you value? Do you value material things, your car, your clothes? Do you value your kids? Things important, education. What's important to you and what do you value? I would really like everybody to be honest, whether they want to post it in the chat room, if they want to call in and say what they value and what's important to them. And let me tell y'all, because my niece texted me and some people tweeted me what's important because I posted on Facebook as well. My 16-year-old niece, who I told her when she get through shopping, and happy birthday, Tamara, her birthday was yesterday, we got to talk. Because the topic that she read, and she gave it to me in this order, and I'm going to tell y'all what she texted me at 16, just turned 16 yesterday, in this order. I said, so you want me to read it on the air? And she puts what she values most is friends, money, relationships, and love.
Nothing about her
show. Yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, we got to talk after the show. We really got to talk because at 16, first of all, you don't know what love is.
Yeah.
That's first. Relationships, you shouldn't even be thinking about that. So I'm like,
unless it's the love she talk about she had for herself or her parents. But
well,
at least I hope that's what it is.
Exactly. So I'm like, we definitely have to, you know, speak. I have to speak to her. And shout out to Portis. This sister been putting it down. Thank you. I'm glad to see you in the chat room, Portis. Covina man, thank you. Godsey Leg Lady, welcome. Guest 3484, No Single Mama Drama, thank you so much. And Self Guided, we appreciate you all. Portis said, I value my family. That's it, that's all. And that's it, Portis. And see, you probably been missing the last couple shows, but we've been dealing with kids. A lot of issues we've been dealing and talking about kids. Some people had a problem with, Queen, y'all got to move on. These kids know what they be doing, but it's just some is so much pain. And like I say all the time, these kids inspire the show. They'll ask me, can you talk about this? Can you talk about oral sex versus, you know, they feel, okay, we're not penetrating, but what's wrong with us doing oral sex on boys? So this is some of the topics that we've been speaking to. And as you all know who listen on Sundays about the Gold Pro T-Shirt Club, we have been discussing that, where it was a young girl had got pregnant in the situation of joining this club, did not know who her baby father was. Out of three guys, she tried to commit suicide because it was people just entering the room. So I'll keep everybody abreast of how she's doing, but she is still in the hospital, and I'm just going to be cautious of who call in. And me and Don spoke about it, me and Ronan spoke about just being careful who we allow to speak and call in to these kids, because, like I said, they're in a lot of pain at home, some being raped, some being molested. So, again, this would inspired the topic, what do you value? What do we value as adults? And I mean, Chill, Don, Ronan, I would like to ask you guys, because we do have teenagers listening. However, Jazzy won't be listening, but Chill download it when she come home, and I'll call her after the show. But what's important to you guys?
Should I value, for one, my kids, life, health, all of that?
It's important, and that's just something we have to instill and tell our kids. So, like, Chill, when you being a father, and I know how much you love your kids, is that's the same values that you have that you instilled in your kids, that's
yep.
what's important. Yeah.
Yeah, it'd have to be self-love first. And then, you know, just value your life, period. And your loved ones. And your surroundings. Not really such material things, but you can value that you have a roof over your head and, you know, that you got food to eat and all of that.
But it has to come from us. It has to come from the adults that instill it in your nephews, in your nieces, in your cousins, in your kids. That's something we have to instill in them and let them know what's important, because that's the same thing I taught my daughter. You have to love yourself first. Because if you don't love you, no one else is going to love you. As she got old enough to understand, I told her, love your grandparents, your family, while they're here. Because I'm a firm believer when you love, and even some family go through things of arguments, and some families don't like to get together, and, oh, we're going to have a potluck, or we're going to have a barbecue, or if such and such going to be there, I'm not going to be there. You know, and life is so short, and you got to value your family. No matter, you know, what situations, everybody got, you know, problems in their family. You may have an uncle that's an alcoholic. You might have a crackhead, and you might not want to be surrounded or come around because of that person. But it's like, even if you make a presence and just say, you know, what's up, everybody, to show your face and everything, because it's not the worst that if someone leave here and then, you know, you didn't tell them you love them or you didn't forgive them for whatever reason. Then them, the people I usually look at when you go to funerals, and I must say I don't like funerals, I don't like going, but usually the ones that do the most crying and falling all over the casket is be the ones with the most rack with guilt of what they did, really, of what they didn't say or what they didn't feel, you know, and then say and appreciate the person while they were here. And this is something I was sharing with the kids at daycare that I deal with, and even ask them what they value, and they don't know.
Man.
So that lets me know that their parents, even though some in foster care, but that lets me know that's something that maybe an aunt, an uncle, a mother, a grandparent didn't instill with them because they don't know. And some are asked, Ms. Shonda, what do value mean? I'm like, what's important to you? You know, do you value your mother? Do you love your mother? I don't know where she is. You see what I'm saying? So this is why I want us to talk about things like this, because I know a lot of kids and teenagers listen. And, Ronald, I would even like to ask you, and let me say this to this brother. I'm telling y'all, I appreciate all y'all, but Ronan, me working at a daycare, is two boys there. I had to call Ronan the early part of the week. One is 6. One is 11. He had to talk to these boys from me, and out of him speaking to the oldest one, he did good. He did better in school. However, the little 6-year-old Ronan, I might be calling you Tuesday. I have to go to work Monday, tomorrow, but I might be calling you Tuesday about him again. He be, Miss Shonda, you going to call your brother? Is he going to get me? Okay, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. Because we only told him, get your education. And it's important that these boys hear this from a male figure that they don't have in their life, because they've been bounced from foster care to foster care, as so many kids do. So, Ronan, I appreciate you for that. But I know, too, that they're going to be listening. So to let them know who listening, what do you value, Ronan?
God first, self-improvement, self-esteem, and peace of mind, family, education, the lady of my life, growth on all levels. That's one of the, among the few things that I put a serious value in, and being an effective leader, not just for myself and my peers, but, you know, to the kids. And I know who you're talking to, and I will be seeing one of them real soon.
Thank you. I'll make sure I let him know that. I do appreciate that, because like I said before, and thank you, Angry Black Woman just joined us, Black Man, Carla G Presents. Thank you guys so much for joining us. And I would like to know if you want to add in the chat room what you guys value the most. And Porter said the love of family is so special, and at the end of the day, that's all we have. She also says she's glad the holidays are over because my family doesn't get along. I've been trying to get us all together since my mom died, going on 5 years. Exactly, Portis, and that same thing happened to me when my aunt passed. And you have some, like she said, some don't want to let go of alcohol long enough to come together to make things work. But what family has to understand, too, is when you come together, it should never be over death. That's first and foremost. But what all we're reacting and doing when we're together as adults on these BTR shows, family get together, kids are watching. Whether it's your niece, your nephew, whatever you're doing and saying, kids are around and they're watching. They're picking up everything you do. I had a male cousin say to me once that we were like, maybe you need to stop drinking so much and smoking so much. And he was like, well, what example did I have? My father wasn't there. He was like, all my uncles alcoholic. But I'm like, that don't have to be you. But again, he right. That's what he remember as a kid coming up at barbecues, Thanksgiving, Christmases. That's what we did. Alcohol was there, and that's what he remember as a little boy who is now 33 years old. And he's still doing the same thing. Love him dearly, but that's what he does. That's what he's seen. That's what he knows. So I'm like, it's sometime, and the point is you get older, you have to break the cycle. And because his uncles or whatever do it, that don't mean he have to continue to do it. You know what I mean? But I don't know why that is among black people, but that's just what we do.
Yeah, easily led to do stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of hard. I mean, every little kid needs to be guided.
And, you know, that's the thing, because I'm telling you, I got so frustrated. I was even telling Ron, I'm like, I can't keep doing this. I got so frustrated of constantly seeing kids being hurt and being molested, and then I have to go into work, and then you hear these kids crying out for help. And then when you do the show, like I had one parent say, and I said this last week, this is why I don't listen to radio. I get so sick of the bullshit, of the same music, the rap. Then when you turn the internet radio, she was like, ain't nobody talking about nothing. So I were asking some BTR hosts, maybe once a month, if you guys can do anything to inspire and talk to kids. Because she had been raped since the age of 4, and she's 27 now. And she was like, she was a pro. And being honest, I mean, it's something she said to me, and she listens to the show. She was like, I was a pro at oral sex by the age of 7. 7 years old. Because her mother sold her for drugs, and that's all she knew. So she was like, queen, no matter what nobody say to you, you guys, please, if the kids are our future, somebody got to focus on them. Somebody got to get them a voice. So like I said, I appreciate you chill and Ronan when you guys take the time out of week, talk to these kids and help them, because like I say, they text me, they call me, you know, and constantly, you know, I reach out because their mother not there. So they too even ask me, well, what do you guys value as adults? So that's what made me say, well, let me have some adults who will talk about it and see what's important to people. Because you guys know in the chat room and who listen and download this show, really think about it. What do you value? Because, I mean, you think of movies that they did. There's certain people, you step on their shoes, excuse me, they ready to kill you because you stepped on their Jordans. So I know what you value, your clothes, your shoes, and material things. Some people will flip out if you waste some on they Prada, they Gucci. They ready to fight you over it.
Yeah.
So really, our values and our morals is just all messed up. And then we wonder why in the community and our kids are this because are the way they are because that's what we showed them. We showed them to value your clothes, value material things. If you don't have House of Darion or if you don't have Prada Gucci, you ain't nothing. But what's the point of having all these material things and you living in the projects and you broken? Your spirit broken. You have no self-love, but you look good. but you all broken and tore up in the outside, but on the outside of your shell, oh, yeah, you got it going on.
Well, most people don't think about that.
That's
the problem.
True. And Carla G said, important of value to me is people with integrity. I agree, Carla. That's true. And Carla also, health is of value to me, and that's true, because if you don't have your health, you really don't have anything.
Yeah, well, that's why I said health. You gotta
yeah,
have
it is. That's so true. But that's just something that, like I said, I'm definitely going to, you right, Porter's put, ghetto fabulous. Oh, all day long. All day long in the black community. Be ghetto fabulous. And they butterfly doors on some of these cars. Oh, my.
Yeah, I mean, to a lot of younger kids, it's like the hood is like a reflection. So everything they see. And a lot of kids don't understand that, you know, it's hard. It's not easy getting certain things. You have to work for anything. It just doesn't just come like that. Everything takes time, but a lot of people don't understand that.
And that's the sad part, and that's something that I ask each adult, either when they call in, the time you give to just help somebody, even if it's your niece or nephew or somebody, just guide them in the right direction. And that, Porter said, I value each day I open my eyes. Exactly, Porter. Exactly, which is very important, because that's like one of the young guys that I had Ronan to speak to. He 6 years old. He have a problem in school where he's doomed to repeat the second grade, you know, again. But he just don't want to do any work. He say, Miss Shonda, for what? How is that going to help me? And I'm like, you know, at six, but then it's hard to be angry or whatever, upset, when he's been, his older brother, who 11, said, but Miss Shonda, we've been in, this our fifth different foster care home that we've been in. So he wasn't taught values. He wasn't taught that education is important. So like I said, when I had to call Ronan, and he was shocked that somebody that he never met really was concerned about him doing his work. So Ronan, I don't even know if you heard him say, but did you hear when he said to you, he said, thank you?
Yeah, that's the best reward you can ever have from kids.
And I was like, wow, that meant a lot to me for him to say that, because this is, boy, he off the chain every day, off the chain. But when I had to, I'm like, let me call Ronan. He needs some type of male voice or something. And his whole demure attitude changed when he heard Ronan on the phone. This is a little boy who I have to watch at when they take naps, because I caught him with a little girl pair of panties in his hand. He have issues. He have issues. That so many kids do. But you have to be patient. And this is something I instill in him, to what's important, that how are you going to be able to get a job if you can't read the job application? Education is important. You doomed to repeat the second grade. This little boy said to me at six, I work at a car wash. I can stand on the corner like I see men do. Miss Shonda, I can ask for change with a cup. I'm like, this is what you want to do? People do it all the time, but this is what he sees. This is what he sees.
Man.
Foster care. I mean, he don't care. There's no self. I mean, his little spirit is broken.
Yeah, well, because he can't see anything right now. So that's basically just, the more he gets talked to, the more he gets talked to, and the more he gets his eyes open, then he'll start to see. But
that's,
he has to have that. He has to have that around him to be able to see that, though.
Exactly, exactly.
So without
and
that,
no single mama drama said at six he doesn't have a dream, and he doesn't. She said he's living in his limited reality. Exactly, exactly. And Carla G said, told Porter, she said a mouthful there, Porter, we do not value life. Because if we did, obviously, lots of the killings of each other will stop. That's true, too. We definitely don't value life. Because like I said, for some people in different cities and states who've died over a pair of tennis shoes, a car, their sexuality, you got kids bullying each other because they confuse over their sexuality, or some is homosexual, lesbian, and people are killing them because of who they love. You know, and it's crazy. It's really crazy. But only we can change. You can only change yourself. But it's good to know that, you know, you have some people, adults, that want to help kids. Like I said, chill, when I can call on you and I can call on Ronan and you guys say, well, give the kids my email if they need to talk. Get in my number if they need to talk. We need more adults to do that. We truly do. But then you got some adults say, well, I don't care. They ain't my kids. I don't have no kids. Why I got to be worried and bothered with somebody else's kids? And really, that's the wrong way to think of it.
Yeah, when you're still living in the world with a lot of people. Now, if you're surrounded and just in a secluded area where you're not, then that will probably be different. But if you're still living in the world with kids, period, then you should worry about that.
Well, that's true.
So the same little kids can be the same little kids that can grow up and rob and shoot your ass.
Hello, Don said that before, too.
You don't recall.
We have a caller on 978. You're on live. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hello, brother and sister. She's a boy, Soul in Black. I heard my man Ronan in there. And,
hey, what's up?
How you guys doing there? I'm just catching in on the show, so I'm just trying to catch up to speed on what you guys are talking about the children. I had the kids. There's some issues here with the kids, huh?
Yeah. And let me ask you, Soul in Black, what do you value?
What do I value?
Yes.
I value, I guess, love. You know what I mean? I value a good life. You know what I mean? Family, community, stuff like that.
Which is important. And I thank you for saying it. And let me ask you, because with the kids who are listening and teenagers, the main one listen to our show, if it's something you could share with them and tell them to value as kids, what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them to value excellence, being the best at whatever you could possibly be the best at. That's positive, that is. Not on the negative side, but on the positive side. And you know, value helping each other, you know what I mean? Lifting each other up instead of tearing each other down.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's nothing like, you know, there's a lot of people in this world right now who would like to have somebody in their corner to back them up. Not necessarily give them everything in life, but to basically support them, you know what I mean? You know, encourage them. Because we have a lot of discouragement instead of encouragement. So that's one of the things I wanted to tell him. I'll tell him, you know what I mean? Look for the positive. Be the best you can possibly be in whatever you want to do. And don't be afraid to dream big, too.
Feel that.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
What happened? What happened?
I think Queen went off.
Hold on, folks. I think we're experiencing some technical difficulties. Let me put my plate down and rush back to the switchboard, and I'll see if I can clear this up. But in the meantime, Ronan and Chill, carry on.
Well, it's very important that we understand this, that I've become very annoyed at everyone's focus on the whole thing about relationships when they see that these kids, not only do they get muted out from everything, but they get kicked aside and left to do it. They left to fend for themselves. And you don't have to sit there and kill anybody with a weapon. You can destroy somebody's dreams, self-esteem, especially with kids. That's some long-standing effects when you do that stuff. That's why it's important for parents to be parents. And for real, I mean, this whole situation with this little girl here, I'm a little bit annoyed about how certain individuals just get on the radio and just talk to be talking and think that their words don't affect people. You know, I've said some crazy things. I've told people to do all kind of vile things to themselves. I talk to backwards adults like that, and two for shock value, but I'll never say something like that to a kid, ever. You know, intentionally or accidentally, never.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know, when you got adults that's doing backwards ass shit, you can do that. You know what I'm saying? So that's different. But I mean, when it comes to kids, it's a whole different line that has to be drawn.
But people don't look at it that way. And Ronan, I thank you for saying that, because I'm telling y'all, as many nights I had to call Ronan, I was so upset. And when I got the phone call, and again, I asked her family, I don't want it to make it where a rank thing is what her dad was telling me, to just talk about it, because this girl is in a lot of pain. But who all just joined us, the incident that you guys know that we talked about with the Gold T-Shirt Club, because I want you guys to know we support you, we got you. Whenever you need to talk, you can call me when you come home. You can call Ronan. She'll even said I could pass his number out. But when a lot of pain she was in, and when she found out she was pregnant at 15 and did not know who her baby father was, by doing these clubs that these girls get into, and then the boys kicked her out of the club, took the T-shirt after all these sexual acts she did, doing what they told her to do, and then on top of that, like I said, to get pregnant, she got all these feelings and emotions. She don't know where to put them, what to do with them. She want to get an abortion, but where she's from, she cannot without a parent or a guardian knowing. So if she tried to get the abortion, they were going to have to let her parents know. So not only is she dealing with that, she's sitting here listening to this show, trying to get inspiration. She's giving me some topics to talk about. So when I get grown-ass kids, as one to call them, I'm not even going to say grown-ass men, because I don't think a man would do and say some of the things that he said. So to say that they're stupid, and then she can call stupid at home, and she's not appreciated, she tried to take her own life. And I told her I didn't want to do this, because I'm very passionate when it comes to kids. And that hurt me.
Well, all she really can do is just, you know, if it is to the point, is that'll have to just be something that she would have to just deal with on a slowly basis. And just know at the same time, okay, people do make bad choices, but you still can bounce back and still recover. So all is not lost. And she has to also just value her life and just make better decisions. I mean, mistakes people make, but you still can carry on. So all she can do is just take this as an experience, to basically as a stepping stone, so she know what not to do, and just use that basically to help others and to better her life.
And you know, that's something I got, so I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Ron, I'm not doing the show. And Ron was like, no, we got this. We got this. We can do this. It's about the kids. And then I'm like, I have to pray real hard. Like, I don't want to lose my focus, because it is about the kids. And, you know, I don't knock nobody for whatever they want to talk about and do, on their show. But it's just some time or some point in your life, to me, when you 35 and over, you really have to start thinking about not just giving back, but the purpose is really helping somebody, like Soul in Black said. You got to reach back sometime and help somebody. And even if somebody's sitting there and say, well, I don't have much, but your time is a lot. You don't have to give your whole life, but just you will be amazed at 5 minutes of your time to help a little kid, or ask her a question, or help them, whatever. It means.
Shonda, speaking of giving up one's time, we have our beloved country as E5 in the Air Force, who does have some good words to speak. So, T. Smitty, your line is open, man. I know you got something to contribute. Go ahead.
Yeah, Don, you need to go ahead and stop eating the plantains, man. But anyway, but yeah, how's everybody doing?
Good, man.
How are you, T. Smitty?
I'm all right. I'll tell you what I value. I value a woman that can make a hot meal.
Got that.
He's crying.
Half of these motherfuckers can't even put popcorn in the microwave. But anyway, all right. As Seattle is being embarrassed on national TV in a playoff, all right. But kids, see, the problem is, and that a lot of people don't want to say it. There are many people who should not be parents. And what I'm saying is that a lot of these people have their kids so young, that especially as jump-off babies, that they're not mature enough as people yet. They haven't grown as a person yet. And now they got to raise kids behind the cuteness, behind the baby showers, you know, behind you smoking the cigars with your homeboys and it's a boy. You still got to raise those kids a 24-hour job. There's no off days. And then you think about it. With this girl here, I would say, I don't know her. She told about part of her situation. But I feel like most of this would have been averted if her parents, if she had an open dialogue with her parents. Let me say this because,
like I said, she's in a hospital right now. So I try to use my words.
I'm sorry. What I'm saying is that the open dialogue is meaning the parents making it easy for her to talk to them. Look at how many young girls get pregnant and they wait and they are scared to death to tell their parents they're pregnant because of what could happen. But then you see some kids who could be like, okay, mom, I got pregnant or I got this girl pregnant. But to me, I feel like that a lot of these parents make it so these kids can't even talk to them.
That's true.
And I feel like that's a big problem.
That's very true. That's very true. You know? And let me ask you, as you coming up as a teenager, was it easy for you to speak to your parents on certain things, if it's sex? Or who did you talk to? Was there an adult that you can go to when you were a teenager to talk to?
Honestly, well, my mom talked to me. Cause my mom talked to me more about it than my dad. It's a couple things back. Y'all talking about like building and all that stuff. Well, I was always taught that was out there sexually, and I was told the truth. It wasn't just no. Hell, my mama said, hey, you know, I'm not going to be over there watching you guys. I got to go to work, blah, 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 and stuff. She's not going to be having surveillance in the house, no closed circuit TV. But what she did was teach us about, like, what that word is, prevention and the truth about what really happens if I got a girl pregnant. And that perfect point of being established. But it's like if something went wrong, I talked to my stepdad more. But at the same time, I was instilled with those tools. It wasn't just say no. It was what really goes on. Because a lot of kids always ask why. But everybody just says just don't do it, but they want to know why don't do it. And that's the problem right there. Parents don't teach these kids the truth and what really happens. And the purpose of growing as a person, about being established and growing up as a person and choosing wisely. Because 15 to 20 minutes can wreck you for the rest of your life and really stunt your development as a person.
That's true. But let me ask you this, T. Smith, because you said you could speak to your stepfather. But see, that's why I asked your mother, and your mother from the South, correct?
And I tell you why I can't speak to her. I don't speak to her.
No, but wait, let me ask you this, because I'm going somewhere with this. Okay, but you from the South, with your mother from the South, correct? Let me tell you the reason why I asked you that question, because me knowing you from the South, and I know people know that my mother was too. I couldn't speak to my mother. My mother never talked to me and my sister about sex. I don't want to make it seem like I'm just speaking or condemning all Southern women, but it's a different type of generation. My mother, the women from the South, just thought if you didn't talk about it, you don't do it. My mother thought it was prudish to speak and talk about it. She never talked to me and my sister about sex, ever. I had my aunt, my mother's younger sister, that I had to speak to. And to this day, me and my mom talk now, and I told my mother, and she say, and I feel so bad that I never spoke to you and your sister, but her main thing was education. Just educate, not sex. I just thought if I didn't speak to you guys about it. And the first time I had sex, I've said this before on the show, at 19, second year in college, I got pregnant. First time I had. I was slow as hell when it came to the streets. Education I had. But streets and all that, I did not. That's just something my mother did not talk to us about. She just didn't. So that's why I asked you that. Did your mother, me knowing you from the South, is just something about some women in the South.
Oh, she talked to us. Oh, she actually talked to my sister and me. And she was telling us, it like makes, you know, always use protection because she felt like if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. But she said, always protect yourself and don't trust that other person. Yep, my biological dad, you know, he was always involved in our lives. My mom told us that and, like, told my sister about a perception, how hard it is when she carried a kid young or me, the way the child support system is, and told us about choices and like building yourself as a person, and that you make a choice to do that stuff and don't let anyone influence you, because it's all, you can if you do it, prevent it, protect yourself, and told us the truth. And to this day, I'm 32. I don't have children, and my sister didn't have children until she got married. So, but I think that your parents is telling you the truth about what's going on and what's out there is key, because I feel like that. You will want your kids to practice abstinence if they marry. That would be ideal. But if you're going to do it, it's like alcohol. Do it responsibly. And don't trust these people, what they're saying out their mouths. Protect yourself first and foremost. That's what I was taught by my mom.
Now, see, my mom did. Like I said, she didn't. It was just get your education. It's so important. Just that's the only thing going to get you through. Don't have sex until you marry. That was it. That's all. That's the only thing she said to me. My sister. She did. Don't have sex. Not to be married. That was it. Never about the birds and the bees, the consequences, nothing. She just did. And the reason why I say this is because the young lady who tried to take, she's from the South. Her mother didn't speak to her about it either. And she felt bad. And this is why I tell parents, when what do you value? When you're a young girl, it's a different time and generation. We spoke about this different show, but the thing with the hormones in the food, you have girls at 9 and 10 years old starting their menstrual cycle. You have to talk to your kids. When I say value, when you got kids, you have to value your kids and speak to them. Because, again, that's something I talked to my little nieces about when they started. And their mother flipped out on me when she came home and I sat them down at her kitchen table and told them, do you guys understand now you becoming a young lady? You can have a baby. No, we can't. Yes, you can. My cousin flipped out, cussed me out. Don't you ever talk to my daughter. That's something I want to do. And I said, that's fine. But when she asked me questions, I'm gonna answer them for her. And she got really upset. She was like, that was not your place to tell her. And she right. It was her place as her mother to discuss that with her daughter. It wasn't my place. But when my young cousin, and now with this day and age, we still talk. And she calls me. Her mother said, I regret. I should have allowed you to talk. Because then she had sex at an early age. I said, see, if you would have continued talking to her like I did. But some parents think if I don't talk about it, I won't do it again. It's a different time in a generation. Talk to your kids. Value your kids. You have to sit down and talk to your kids. You just do. And I don't know why parents think when little girls start at 9 and 10 years old and they menstrual cycle that, oh, the last thing they're going to be thinking about is sex. So it's just her period. It's okay. I don't have to talk to her.
Hey, Platinum, you know, the thing is, a lot of parents, it's like what they say, because of one class I took in discussion, they was talking about the condoms being passed out through schools. And people, it's only people in there were saying, well, it's like don't ever have sex. I was like, you should be teaching people about prevention, because it's like, you know, everybody told most of us guys don't drink alcohol as a high schooler, and 90% of us took a couple of swigs. You know, me and Chill just chill out, they drink the OD, you know, but, but you know, But the thing is, it's like kids. You know, a lot of kids think they're invincible, but you got to teach them about prevention. And that's where parents, being parents and mature as people, because of the long-range thing, because my mom also said, it makes no sense having a kid when you're broke.
Well, that's true, but let me say this to you, T. Smitty. Okay, prevention, that's true, but when you got kids having sex at 12 or 13 or 14, you can tell them and talk to them about prevention. They ain't trying to hear it. They ain't trying to hear it who already started having sex. Like you said, the prevention should start before they start having sex, but what I'm saying is when you say prevention, what do you say to a child that's having sex at 13 or 14, when their values, this is what I'm saying, when I ask people what do they value, is this something you discuss? Okay, T. Smitty, I know you don't have kids, but nieces and nephew, do you have any? Little cousins?
Well, actually, my nephews, I ain't, like, barely walking, but
okay,
like, we got someone on the line who might be able to answer that, which is the sensational accountant known as Abe from Georgia. Hey,
I wasn't going to answer that question, Don.
Hi, Abe.
Nah, he's a big boy. His feelings won't be too hurt. So, Abe.
Don't worry, watch this dishes later on.
Hey, I enjoy washing the dishes, T. Smitty, but that's a whole other show. Hey, the laundry and dishes, seriously, though, what's your opinion? And then we'll get back to Smitty. All right? Hey, we love you, Smitty. But, hey, what's your opinion? What would you tell kids who started having sex and they're young and you want to make them understand that, you know, either they should stop or that they should at least consider using protection? Fire away.
One thing I will say is that, wait a minute, somebody had an echo. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's an echo on the phone.
Okay. I can't hear it. I don't hear it either.
It's probably on your end.
I'm not even my computer, but anyway. One thing I will say as far as, this echo feel weird. I'm not even joking.
Maybe it's your cell phone. You on your cell phone?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might want to dial in again or something.
That's why. That's on your end.
Yeah, because we don't hear it.
Mm, that happens. It's the connection. That's all.
Yeah, you probably need to just dial in again and break it.
Just right, tune out the echo.
I'll be taking a minute.
Yo, Smitty, I don't know why you feel more upset. I feel more upset because my Ravens lost. I just want to throw that out there. Okay, back to the subject.
Okay. Hey. But while Abe is dialing in, what I was going to say, I got cousins, younger cousins, especially the boy cousins. And I tell them, you know, of course they have a sex. They're like in their early 20s, they have a sex. But I tell them, make sure you use protection because, and I broke it down financially. I said, the way they like, you know, no one tells these guys about family law and all that. And I tell them, dude, I said, can you really afford to take care of these kids? And I said, do you want to be with this woman? Really? And I break it down financially. I was like, this one pack of diapers here, that little newborn going to crap out of those in 2 or 3 days. And you working at Chuck E. Cheese. I don't think you can take care of all that. And I asked him, I said, are you ready to be responsible as a man, as a father? He said, no. Well, then, if you're going to do it, protect yourself. Because you cannot trust these women when they say they're on the pill. Not blaming women, but I'm talking on the boys' end. Because I said, you stuck. And you don't want to be stuck. And because the thing with kids, parents, we got to teach these kids about long-range goals, thinking 5, 10, 15 years down the line and not about Sunday and today's Sunday. Because these 15, 20 minutes, as we see, have wrecked plenty of lives. And that's one of the main reasons the poverty is still rampant in the black community.
But, T. Smith, you're going back to the main topic. Again, what you value, if you're going to teach people to plan long-term, it depends on what they value. If you value getting education, you value having a family, that kind of stability, then you will plan long-term. But if all you value is looking fly, you know, if all you value is getting an orgasm, then you're not going to think long-term. You're just going to think about for the moment. And it boils back again, what are the parents teaching those kids? What values are they instilling? And by the way, Abe, your line is reopened, and I hope that echo is cleared.
And I'm glad you said that, T. Smitty, and continue to do that with your cousins. And let me say this right quick, because No Single Mother Drama says she showed her her son's pictures of girls that would be attracted to with STDs and AIDS. He was shocked at how pretty these girls were. I like that, because that's something else Rona used to give websites to tell these kids. In this day and age of technology, you guys can Google anything to, you know, to know about sexually transmitted diseases too. So I appreciate everybody valuing and talking to them and telling them what things to look out for. And T. Smitty, I hope that's something you continue to do with your male cousin.
Yeah.
Talk to them.
Yeah. And I'll follow up on that after Abe speaks, though.
Okay, go ahead, Abe.
Okay, as far as the sexual, as far as prevention, I wish that someone, like, you know, as a uncle, if the father's not there at home, I think an uncle maybe teach, let's say, their nephew, if the parent doesn't allow them, the parent lets them do it, let them talk about condom usage or abstinence. You know, I do say women do say yes, but men got to take responsibility for that also. You know, we have to, because you can't just say it's her fault. Well, you got to put on a condom too, and you have to think about this choice I'm going to make. I can't go back. When you do it, you can't go back. Once you do it, you can't go back and erase it. And on the women part of the end, I wish birth control was promoted more. But I think abstinence would be better for this one reason. Let's say you get married one day, you find a special person, and, you know, you do have sex. That's something that's kind of exclusive between you and that person. No one else can claim that, you know, y'all were there, that y'all two had that, y'all had that special bond. That's just my opinion.
Thank you for that, A. And T. Smith, you was gonna continue?
Oh yes, I was saying also, I got younger cousins. That's like one just freshman in college now, and her sister's like a little bit younger. And I got a lot of her little younger sister's kind of liking those thugs a little bit. Yeah, so I had to tell her straight up. And that's why I had to talk to her. And that's when it hit me. I had to tell them also, hey, those older guys at 25 trolling around in high school, if they can carry on a so-called conversation with you, they ain't about, like, you know, carry on a great conversation with you, their mind ain't there. They only after one thing. That's all they care about. Because what 25, 26-year-old grown man, allegedly, is going to want to spend his time with a 16-year-old girl. And a lot of those girls get caught up with those guys, too, because those guys will flip talk them, show them their little fly ride with the little Lamborghini doors on the Cavalier, you know. But I told her also, she's in college, one older one's in college. I was like, your rep, I told her about her reputation as a woman. I told her about, hey, making sure you protect yourself as well. Because I told her this. If a man is trying to, man trying to penetrate you with no protection, he doesn't give a damn about himself, much less to give a damn about you.
That's true.
You know what else? I'll tell you this real quick. Especially her. I said, if a boy try to lay down on you like that, ask him what his plan for you is. Ask him that. And I bet he'll come up with some intangible stuff with some, gonna try to throw you some jive game. If he doesn't have a plan for you, let him be. There always will be men out there.
You know what, T. Smitty, I appreciate you saying that, especially with the young girls listening. I'm going to tell you why, because I said, I'm wondering what grown people going to call in and say what they value. Because the first thing with tweets I got and emails, man, Queen, I'm going to have to download the show because of the football game. I said, thank you. That lets me know what you value. So I know you're a big football fan. You love
football.
It's supposed
to blow out, too. I lost money on
the
Seahawks covering spread.
But see, this is why I say, and this was really why I say what people value. I knew on Sundays the time we come in, but this is why I wonder what people value. Honest to God, T. Smith, I'm apologizing to you because I really didn't think you was going to call in and say what you value, let alone to give or talk to the kids about anything, because I'm like, he going to be on football.
Is that Alabama?
So I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate you calling in speak it to the kids and say what you value, really, because if you think about it, I wonder if people really do as adults sit and think, what do you value? What's important to you? And it's funny you said the butterfly, because I see so many young, and chill, you know, we being on the West Coast in California, people got butterfly doors, shouldn't be on Toyotas, Pintos, I mean, it's stupid, but that lets you know what they value, though. You know what I mean? That lets you know that they wasn't talked to, that's something that their parents did not talk to them about. Instead of getting a bank account, save your money when you get a certain age and things like that. Really, this is what should create a dialogue to make parents and even adults with no parents think, wow, what do I value? What am I giving back to the kids? How am I helping my community? And God's elect lady, and I want to shout out to her, to this sister put, this is why she going to start a mentor program. I just told her anything she need me to help her with, you got that. That's my word, you got that.
Ms. Platinum, quick, can I give a little advice to those? Oh, sorry.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Can I give a little advice to those, let's say, maybe 15 or 16 that maybe finna start having a bank account maybe soon and start working?
Please do, A. Thank you.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Get a savings account right now. And I'll tell you why I get savings account, because your money actually will be safe from fraud protection. I'm going to say get at the credit union if possible. And also, when you get older, maybe, let's say, make enough money to get a checking account, please do it. Because let's say go to check-in and cash-in place. Like, you know, check cash-in places.
Mm-hmm.
You still got to pay, like, about a double-digit fee to do that. If you go to a bank, and let's say you go just to deposit money, it's free. Or you want to withdraw a little income from your account, it's free withdrawal from the bank itself when you go in. If you, let's say, go to the ATM machine, you're only paying $1. If you go to another bank, it may cost you $5, $6.
Well, it's important. In that department, it's important that, I'm going to say this, period. For the youth, y'all need to pay attention to your money, period. You need to make sure you save your money and you plan to invest for your future. Don't blow it off. Forget about them Jordans. Forget all that stuff. Try to be all fly. Because most of the time you see those people who are fly, as soon as a storm comes, they ain't got nothing to show for nothing. They got nothing to back them up, nothing to cover their back, nothing at all. So don't follow with that crowd. Forget about the peer pressure. Invest to save your money. And get into a credit union. You're right. They need to get a credit union. Skip all that nonsense.
And if I may add another thing again, this is a tip I got from this book, The Richest Man in Babylon, which is wisdom that's over 8,000 years old. 8,000 years ago, people knew, they had the notion that when you're making your money, 10% of it, save it away to have it grow interest. Don't even touch it. You know, not even keep it rainy. Just save that money. If kids can start learning that discipline when they're younger, you know, they can focus on that as opposed to trying to get sex. It will help out when they're in their mid-20s to even in their 30s. If they make it a habit, whatever little money they make, take 10% of it, save it away, put it in that credit union saving account so it can gain interest. Whatever you're going to do with the other 90%, you do it, but 10% of it, you save it solely so it can accumulate interest and work for you, make your money work for you. But, hey, I'm just a bootleg accountant, so I don't really know anything.
I'll trust around a little bit.
No, that's good, and I'm glad you guys are sharing that with the teenagers, because no single mama drama says she's teaching her 18-year-old how to invest in stocks now to save 30%. When you have no bills. Exactly.
And even on the bookstore, you might be saying for students in school, like in college, they'll say the bookstore charge you $107, which is ridiculous, for a book you may use for 6 months. I would say, like, if the class lets you, go to, let's say, an online store. That's how I tell people to get a checking account so you can get a debit card so you can, let's say, just rent a book online for, let's say, $40, $50. You can just return it right after that rate before the due date. So you save a lot of money, trust me.
And that's important. So teenagers, take heed, and you guys open up. You guys are saving. I agree with the credit union. That's something. And if you're a Cali, Southland Credit Union is pretty good. So if y'all want to check that out.
I didn't know you were out there in Cali.
Yeah.
Okay, you're out my home.
Yeah. Most definitely.
That's what.
I go back south every year, but most definitely. And I appreciate you guys, Abe, and you guys helping and letting them know what's important and what to value. And I like what No Single Mama Drama said with the stocks is important. Teenagers, really, the value, really, and that is important to have a savings because you never know. You never know. So it's important to definitely start doing that. So while asking y'all mother, like somebody said, with the Jordans and things, start, you know, putting your money away. It's important. If you got a little jobs at 15, 16 years old or whatever you guys doing at McDonald's, don't use your whole paycheck on your clothes and things like that. Really put some of it back. Pay you first. Please always remember to pay you first.
You know, Platinum. Well, two quick things. First, kids, do not fall for the credit card at the college where you get the T-shirt and free pack of Skittles.
Oh, my God.
You know, that, and also this, I've been living in the suburbs most of my life. I had never seen a check cashing place or a title loan place in those neighborhoods I grew up in. So, you know, hey, I don't sold on going with that one. You know where they put those places at.
T. Smitty. You're right about telling them about those credit cards. But if they get the card, because my goddaughter's mom, she fell for this, and I have told her time and time again. I told her, she was like, oh, you can just get a credit card. You can pay the minimum balance, the minimum payment. If you have, for any reason, you must use a credit card, make sure you pay that fucker off. Don't fall for it to just pay that minimum $15 payment, because the interest will accumulate, and it will kill you. I mean, I have this one card I've had since freshman year in college. The only reason I kept it is because those suckers were the only ones of all of them to have my name written right. And when I went to grad school, years later, I finally started using it, and I always made sure, to this day, every time I have a credit card bill, I pay it off. Only in a few instances did I have to have a balance roll over, and even then I paid way more than that minimum payment. So kids, I'm not going to say credit cards are the devil, because sometimes they're useful, but if you're going to use a credit card, make sure you pay that sucker off.
And please do that. And let me say this, No Single Mama Drama said, invest in Blockbuster, you get 100 shares for $14. And I like the fact that God elect said when BTR makes his changes on the first, she will be using her pay just for the youth to address their issues. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That made my day. I really appreciate that. That's great. That's awesome. That's awesome. Because they need that. I do. I appreciate everybody's time and that you guys are doing to, because they're listening, to tell them to invest. And y'all check out Blockbuster, because 100 shares for $14, that ain't bad.
No, it's not
for a teenager. That's good. That's something that they can focus on instead of getting in these little clubs and you know, and the whole sex thing that they're doing. That's good. I think that's great. And I appreciate you guys letting them know that. If they're listening, that's something they can put their time into, you know, and invest in stocks and bonds. You know, be your own entrepreneur. You never know, by the time they get 30, they have some money and they can, you know, if they want to start their own business or company and things of that nature. I think that's awesome. So I appreciate No Single Mama Drama and Don and you guys, y'all letting them know about the credit card and how they can get up, because it's important them to know what to value and what not, pitfalls to fall into, so they don't make some of the mistakes that we did as teenagers in colleges and things like that. Because, man, Don, you said a mouthful with the credit card. The interest, we ain't going to talk about that.
Well, since we're talking about the kids, they have to pay attention to not being so quick to buy the first thing when they first come out, because they're overcharging everything anyway. If you really want something down the road, you save up for it. You set aside for it. Cut grass, wash cars, do what you want to do. And there's nothing like having your own money and buying what you saved and, been waiting for. You get into practice of that, you'll start having better saving habits. Then you start looking in the newspaper, like Sundays or whenever they have sales, and you can make your money work for you instead of just going broke by having one bag full of stuff. You just got to be real smart with your money. With things.
Please.
And it'll be good because a lot of times, like with kids, if you can do that, you can probably teach your parents how to save money and be able to do more things. And just get back out to playing outside and doing all the things that you're supposed to do. I know it's like certain areas that you're not able to do it, but, I mean, there's always a park. Or do something. Burn that energy off. You know, just focus on being kids. Focus on being kids. And then everyone's talking about they want to be grown. You got to take the proper steps to be an adult. Because just because you're a certain age doesn't mean you're you're a man or a woman. That's a whole
lot
of things.
Being a kid.
Yeah.
That's true. And Metal Man said penny stock.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's better.
Penny stock
is better. And he said our kids need to learn money, period. I agree with you, Middleman.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say this. You guys, young kids out there, young cats, ladies and gents, value a hard day's worth of work. And that also, and then you can value your money because, let's get it understood, just because the money come easy or maybe come quick, that also comes with you don't value it. Okay, because a lot of times people get that money so fast, they don't value what they get. So don't be a stranger to hard work, because hard work does help you out, and it'll help you think better and keep your mind straight, and you'll value what you earn. You can't just go blowing it like that, and that's a good governor for you. So there's nothing wrong with some hard work.
That's true, and I appreciate you saying that too, but you guys definitely – invest. I like that too, Middleman. That's something they can afford, like Middleman said, as well as no single mama drama. But as Ronan and Don and they said, you guys be careful with the credit cards, because I remember, God, when my cousin went away to college, she was so happy. The first thing, they get a credit card and they think they in heaven. And they go crazy with it. So when you get the buying things, and then let's be honest, teenagers listening, some of y'all going to college, you really don't use it for what your parents only use it for, a mercy. Y'all go, some stores have a sale, y'all go be buying jeans, and in 2-3 years, you done bought $800 for a pair of $30-some jeans.
Mm.
Because the interest alone.
Yep, them young ladies, especially you young ladies, man, I know you guys got a fetish for them shoes, so slow down. Stilettos. Trying to look cute with them credit cards. That shoe, like she said, that shoe could be $30 or $100 or whatever.
Exactly.
$3,000 pair of shoes. Y'all want to slow down?
Please. Is that Soul in Black? And I'm going to tell you something else. If you look at some women who, with these credit cards, teenagers, listening, then you get married, Soul in Black, and then some of y'all still paying bills from when you was a teenager.
Yeah.
You get 25, 27, want to get married, you still paying bills. You ain't told your future husband how much in debt you are. So
ladies,
yeah,
when you're in college and you want to satisfy your shoe fetish, Payless is your friend. Until you get a real job and you're debt-free where you can go to DFW or whatever the name of those places where you can get some good quality shoes, until then, just go to Payless. Or even get the crap at Walmart for all we care, because, you know.
That's why I say leave the credit.
It's not like
you're
going to wear that stuff, like, all the time anyways.
You better hit the
squad. And no single mama drama said if the mom and daddy mismanage their money, how you think the kid's going to be with that? That's true. That ain't funny, but that's true. She do got a point. She said it's a new law passed that college students can't get a car without parents' signature until the age of 21.
Yeah, because that's the credit card going ahead and taking advantage of. The parents not handling their responsibilities of teaching their children. So they see an opportunity there for profit, so they're going to go right on in there and they've coerced the politicians to open up that door to go ahead and take that money right out of their hands. You know, what the scriptures say, a fool and his money will part ways.
Will part, yep. And Middleman said his uncle always said, if you can't pay cash for it, you don't need it. That's what my dad said. My dad do not, but he said it's another form of slavery. So my father, he do not do credit cards at all.
Me either.
Neither do
I. Because those things are dangerous. And I'm going to say something, too. You brought up a point there about yeah, you get ready to get into a relationship later on down the road with your new man and get married, and you bring in all this debt. That's one of the problems with a lot of guys today. They don't. They're not. A lot of these men now are looking at their women and checking their debt ratio before they even bothered even thinking about marrying them, because a lot of the ladies are now coming in with half 1.5. I think this one lady I was dealing with, she had $1.5 million worth of debt.
What,
Lord.
Jesus. Hey. See, kids, why won't y'all to listen? All man, soul, and black say, this, man, this is what I'm talking about. This is why I say what you value is important. You guys are learning something about this. Just don't even deal with credit cards. Jesus,
yeah,
1.5. Then that become your problem.
Well, see, look.
When you married. But think of people, soul, and black.
Yeah.
If you would have married her, you might not have found out till after you married her. Then it becomes your problem.
Oh, no, see, that's one thing I won't do, and that's for the young cats. I wish you, young cats, y'all got to evaluate before you step in there. Make sure you check out what's going on before you go in there. Fully get a disclosure of what's happening. You know what I mean? What you going to merge your lives together with, all right? Make sure you understand what's going on. And ladies, too, but guys especially, because, you know, it can be rough on you the way the laws are set up. So it's like, okay. So, but her debt wasn't just credit cards. She had credit card debt, car debt, college debt, and then you got mortgage debt. When you calculate that out, because people don't actually look at the real number. They basically look at the payment, and that's one of the problems with people get in trouble with. Oh, the payments are affordable. The payments are affordable until you have 10 payments, 12 payments, or 15 payments, or 20 payments. It's no longer affordable, and even beyond, before you even got there, it wasn't affordable when you got up to 10. If you calculate... You calculate the true interest. I want you young people to understand. You calculate the true interest from when you bought it to the time you have to pay it off. That's why this lady has $1.5 million worth of debt.
Damn.
All of
and
her
no
debt
single stuff. Mama drama said credit cards are not dangerous. It's your inability to control your spending. That's true, too. But I just say leave alone, period, especially if we're talking to kids as teenagers, because the thing is, even though the law at 21 –
mm-hmm.
You look at some kids, if you know, oh, well, they tell their parents, because my young cousin did, I'm just going to buy if I need Subway or something to eat. Who can't get a $5 Subway foot long? What you got to charge sandwiches and food
I'd
like that
I rather find a woman
for?
I can cook and go to Subway.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean,
exactly.
You know what, I tell you this, though. Like, if any of these young people you mentor join the military, which I'm in now, do not buy a house. People try to tell me you buy a house for the longest, but I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be here in Phoenix for like the next 10 years till I retire. Then,
right.
You know, what they don't tell you is, they always say, you can rent it out. But what they don't tell you is, these houses sit on these lots empty for months at a time. And while
yep.
you got, because that owner still has to pay that mortgage, pay all those utilities, keep the yard maintained, and all that, and pay his property tax on top of that, and no HOA fees. But also paying where he has to live at. You know, so there's some stuff right there people don't tell you about. I'll buy one when I retire and I'll settle, but, you know, there's no point in me buying one now. I just feel like, and I've seen guys buy a house, and a year later they get orders. They have to short sell the house.
Wait, let me say this. I'm loving the chat room. God, see, that lady said you could tell T. Smith is from the country because he keep talking about food.
Hey, don't disrespect the country.
Hey,
she might
be getting the middle man said, aren't we one of the only civilized countries to make everyone pay for education? And God's elect ladies say that tell the kids to vary their education as well. That's something we always tell them, God's elect lady, which is so important, value your education. But like I said, you have some teenagers who do look forward to going to college just so you look at the grants, the money they get, the credit card. So that's something I appreciate everybody giving their know-how and telling them what not to do, because we do make so many mistakes. We do with these credit cards, and they just think another form of cash or money, and now they make it easy. And even though no single mama drama is sold in black, somebody said until they get 21, I know some teenagers with gas cards.
Yep.
What?
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. They giving them gas cards.
Because they got cars. If they can get cars, then they say, well, you got cars, you want to get that money. They're trying to find, see, what's going
and
on.
And the interest
today
is no better on the gas cars either.
Nope. kid, let me tell you something. Young kids, the youth, you guys got to realize this. You guys are targeted. You're targeted for music. You're targeted for money, everywhere they can possibly get you. So just understand, your money is that valuable to the people who are trying to target it, it should be even that more valuable to you to keep it.
I can break it down right now. That would get targeted. If you, like, for example, music. The target young people in music videos. Look at, like, alcohol, 20-year-olds under.
Mm-hmm.
Even sexual commercials, like, what, the Trojan, some Trojan commercials? Under,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, under 30. So they are mm-hmm. targeting us. They're targeting us. They're trying to get us broke before 30.
Yep.
So we'll be on divorce court. That's a whole other show, though.
Yep, it's a whole
no, but it's just some things that they just need to know. It's just so many important things that they need to know while they want to play grown up and play sex and everything. But it's so much more you guys are going to run into when you start going to college and other things in high school. Because you look at, like, Solon Black or maybe Abe just said, these people know who to target. Because some of these kids fresh in high school, my daughter, when she hit high school and graduated, she had like credit cards were hitting her from the May company. Gas card came, everything. I was tearing them up, cutting them up, and then, you don't even need to look at this. And it was wrong for me. I didn't open it up when I seen who it was. She don't even need to see this. Because I knew that's something she would have done behind my back, went on and got it done at that age. So to avoid all that, I threw it right in the trash. I cut it up. Throw it in the trash. You don't even need to see this because that's something. And I told her, if it's something you want and you working and in college, if you can't pay for it, then you don't need it. You don't need a credit card. Well, my daddy said I need at least one major credit card.
When you said you cut it up and threw it away, speaking of that, to all the young kids who are listening, especially when you go off to college, or even if you're not off in college, but you're starting to get those pre-approved offers, don't just get rid of this stuff. Don't just throw it in the trash. If you don't have a shredder, shred your stuff in small pieces, put them in, mix them up, put them in separate bags and dump them in different dumpsters so that way identity theft thieves will not be able to repeat the stuff together. If you have a little change, invest in a micro-cut shredder.
Broke my shredder.
No. Don't just shred it, any shredder. Get a micro cut or a cross cut shredder.
You have to, because I broke
and
my
then,
shredder doing three
and
like
then
that.
Mix the stuff up, put them in separate bags, dump them in separate places. Because people, otherwise, somebody might get the information and they might steal your identity, open a line of credit in your name, and then you're screwed. I have a cousin. She has one of her college roommates, I guess, got some of those pre-approved cards that were on her name and went ahead and charged them up. And, you know, got her in some trouble like that. So that's another tip for the kids.
Why can't they just burn them? You don't mask after they cut them up and burn them like the papers.
I like what the middleman said, black people equal consumers. We are not sellers anymore.
How we're viewed. We don't have any selling
mentality.
But that's something else, and I'm glad he said that, too. That's something else the teenagers need to know and look into because, I mean, you look at these, their young counterparts, the same age, Caucasian young kids who are entrepreneurs. Some Caucasian kids are millionaires at 15, 16 years old.
Yep.
Because they're patenting, you know, creating their own things. Making money. And that's something our kids, they need to do. And get it to you guys are just as smart. Anything you put your mind to, you can do it. Getting Pat T. Smitty said it once before. If it's younger, you guys figure you don't have the money to do it, start off patent something. But you can. We just need to talk more. You know, guys, help yourself because it's just more important things than y'all doing than sex and trying to trick out your cars at 16. It's just so much more important things that you guys need to value more than cars and put notches on your belt and having sex and how many girls y'all slept with. And ladies, the same thing go for you guys. Self-respect and self-value is more important. You guys have got some great and awesome tips from Middleman, Soul in Black, Ronan, Don, A. Really, take some, and Single Mama Drama and Gossy Lake, put some of this
and
really,
T. Smitty.
And T. Smitty. Oh, my bad, T. Smitty. Yeah.
Forget about me.
No, I ain't going to forget about you, T. Smitty. But really, that's something that they need to think about and really do. Because really, every time I open up a paper, you look at a program, 14-year-old girl, 15-year-old white boy, I mean millionaire, ain't got to work ever again. Got their own company. Starting out their houses. Father letting them use the garage.
You know what,
and
Danielle?
Our kids sitting up here, parents at 13 and 14.
I want to say something. I'm going to say something. Look, it's better to have it for real than to look like you do. I know they tell you that it's fake it till you make it, but that's not working for us right now. Stop that faking it. Stop trying to have those nice cars and looking all fly and all that stuff. Actually have the money to actually have those things really, okay? Don't fake it. Be real about it. You want to be real, then be real to yourself and be real to your finances and your life, okay? Be real. Okay, don't fake it no more. Stop with the faking. That don't work no more, all right?
But you know what, Soul in Black, that's so true. But if you look at, this is why I say, and I appreciate you guys as men on here talking to these kids, I'm going to tell you why. Because when they're not getting it at home and taught what value is, and they looking at TV and they looking at these basketball stars and these rappers on TV. Give me a minute. The teenagers, really, y'all follow me and think about it. Think about it. They're taught to look good first from the media and not education. Because if you look at, really, and I think if anybody, I'm about to tell my age, but if anybody remember this movie, White Men Can't Jump. Y'all remember that?
Billy Holt. Billy Holt.
Thank you. I'm going to tell y'all where I'm going with this. Because Woody Harrelson, a white man, told Wesley Snipes, black men like to look good first, and anything else comes second. And they true. Even on the basketball court, this is what these young boys look at. The ball first, look good, they gear, they clothes, even in basketball. I don't even like why. I used to love basketball, but they do. They want to slam first. If basketball done turned into some back when McAdoo, Michael Cooper, imagine them. Now everybody tatted up. It looked like freaking street ball on TV. Everybody want to slam diamond earrings and both. It's just ridiculous. But this is what our kids are looking at. You don't see white players like that. You never seen Larry Bird. This is why usually other kids do better than ours in education, far as money, just lives better. Because even in everything, in rappers, it just showed them to look good first. If you be a baller and a rapper, you'll be successful. But this is what the media is showing them.
I'll tell you this. You know, Platinum, because right now we're in a Cribs. I'll tell a friend of mine, Cribs is one of the worst shows of our community. I'll tell you why. The thing is, that's why I go to long-term thinking. Let's use these athletes. 7 out of 10 of them are broke in 10 years after they retire because those tricked-out cars, you cannot sell a tricked-out car. It's literally impossible. And the thing is, you got all these homes, you got all these cars, and the one thing that's a common denominator also, baby mamas. Like this guy from the Jets, Antonio Cromartie, got 9 kids, 8 women, and 6 states. He's going to be broke in 10 years. And a lot of those athletes got that, and he's rapping. Lil Wayne got 4 baby mamas tattooed on his face. If you're a regular guy,
but that's what
even
the kids
Circle
are looking
not gonna
at.
Hire you. But I tell you this, though. I tell you the thing is, though. This is where this whole thing called raising your kids come into effect. Because I used to grow up like one of the biggest Michael Jordan fans. Now, we all know Mike had his good times off the court, you know. We all know that, you know. But the thing was, my parents now, get this, people, parents always said, hey, what he does on the court is different than his personal life. Said, hey, look here, less than 1% of all Division I folks are the creme de la creme of college athletes go pro in their sport.
Right.
But see, no one telling these kids, hey, use that scholarship or whatever to get that free education. I got a cousin, not one of cousins, I told you I had to do that to him. I said, hey, not saying you ain't good, but it is tough to make it in. The average career is only 3 years anyway. So I said, you got to get what you can out of these people first. And if a basketball works out, God bless you. But if not, get something out of them because they're going to get something out of you.
Well, and that's why I want them to know the value more than, and no single mama drama said, her son taught her about a $1 million athlete that had to get an advance to pay $500,000 in child support for 8 kids.
Probably Antonio Cromartie. That was Cromartie.
You bring up a valid point. I want the youth to understand this. Check out these rappers 10 years after they fall off their game. Check out these basketball players 10 years. Look at the ones that you like and see how they do 10 years from now, 5 years from now, if they're out of the limelight and everything. Nine times you're going to find out, nine times out of 10, they are broke. B-R-O-K-E, broke. Okay?
Wasn't there something about Coolio who performed at some place for like a bucket of chicken and like maybe like a few hundred dollars?
Yeah, that's what it's coming down to. But see, but these kids need to know that. Oh my God, you crazy. But these kids need to know that. Because like Middleman said, the cars lose its value. But you guys think about it. Rona, wherever state you live in, that Soul in Black, Middleman, Chill, whatever. Well, Chill, no, in California. But if y'all think about it, y'all see these little kids in the South with the little fake silver chains. This is what they see. These rapper bling bling, and you spend $1 million, $2 million on a chain that will, you can never get it back if you take it to the pawn shop. But these kids, that's what I'm like, what they value.
Nope.
This is why you guys. Well, go ahead. What you say, T. Smitty?
The pawn shop is making a whole bunch of money right now. They're making a whole bunch of money off of them. If you go to the pawn, matter of fact, for you kids, you want to see how much your chain is really worth? Go to the pawn shop. That's where you go. Go right, look at the pawn shop, and see how much it's worth. See how much it's worth inside the jewelry store, and then take a trip on over to the pawn shop, and you're going to see how much money you lose. How much money you lose
exactly.
Between that same trip, okay? You can do that in the same day.
Because I don't want them to think that's what's cute, and stop valuing material things, because you look at these rappers with Cat, this boy with all this, and T-Pain and Baby Cat, all these diamonds in their mouth. That is just the stupidest thing, and you got kids want little fake grills. That's what I mean, and look what they have them valuing, material things, not their education, not anything that's important. And like I said, they'll never get back what they pay for. This little young, I don't want to call a little boy ignorant, but this little young rapper, Soulja Boy, who got all these kids, 16, 17, he was on Monique. He told her $1.5 million. He had this big medallion around his neck. I ain't hear him say nothing about him going back to college, trying to put money. You never hear the young one saying they bought them a house or anything, or their parents. I haven't. They could have. I have not heard it. $1.5 million on a necklace. I'm like, you going to sit there proudly on TV. 17, did you ever say you finished high school? Did you finish high school?
Then he did the ninth grade twice or some crap like that.
Yes. See what I'm saying? Where the value and everything at, but this is what these kids, and this is why the parents do have to continue to talk to their kids and show them what's of value. You don't look, but see, when the parents is not teaching these kids what's of value, this is who they look up to, these rappers in basketball. This is what they value. And like I said before, last week, they did a statistic in Chicago, L.A., Philadelphia, predominantly black schools, and asked teenage boys from 9 to 15 what they want to be. The top three was a rapper, basketball player. The third one was a hustler. That's sad.
Hey, y'all know something? I'll tell y'all this. Like these rappers. One, the real money is behind the scenes, the engineers and people.
Yep.
Producers. That's where the money's at. Y'all can find any old schmuck to go in front of that mic. Those guys are replaceable. And then look at the rapper you can tell that have money. And look at how they dress. Look at Jay-Z or, like, let's say, like, Kanye. Yeah, Kanye may be a little eclectic, but look at him. Even 50 Cent had his hands in a lot of stuff. Master P had his hands in a lot of stuff. Master P is still doing okay for himself. But you're going to have Gucci Mane going to be broke. Lil Wayne going to be broke. I don't care. They don't think they won't, but he's going to be broke. And I was going to say, also, this basketball player, Antoine Walker, he blew $110 million. And now he's from the NBA. He's trying to go play in Puerto Rico. Go ahead and play in Idaho now, because some of the things he spent money on, he bought his mom this big old house, a 60-year-old woman, big old house with a basketball court in it. The woman's 60. You know, and then they bought all these cars, all your designer suits, all that stuff.
And I'm glad y'all said that. And Middleman said we are the new jesters. Jesters equal entertainers. And I'm glad you guys are saying this because this is important. Because when I talk to them, that's what they want to be. And you know, some people thought when Barack became president, ooh, that get the kids a new thing they want to do. Now they know they can see somebody look like them, and now they want to be president. I have not talked to one young black boy. Matter of fact, Rona, when I call you Tuesday, ask them what they want to be. The young boys I let you talk to, ask them what they want to be. I'm going to make sure I call you Tuesday from the place I work with and you ask them what they want to be. That's the sad thing.
Why the hell would you want to be president anyway? Well, for those kids,
but no,
those
what
kids
I'm saying, I'm not
money.
Saying Don to be, but I'm saying when you see somebody different that look like you, you would hope they goals want to get away from basketball and rapping. And you think,
if you
okay,
told me because
I see somebody
okay.
look like me, I could do something different.
Hold it, Shonda. If you told me, okay, because Barack Obama's president, you were like, well, what was he before he became president, before he became senator? He was a lawyer. And people could be like, hey, you know, look at that. This guy's a president. He was a lawyer. Maybe being a lawyer is a cool thing, you know. But you got people who
want
to go
from. I just want their goals higher.
Higher
than
go from a
freaking basketball star or a rapper.
Well, I'll
yeah,
tell you.
But, well, let me tell the kids this. Kids who are listening, understand this. If you want to be president, why would you want to have a job that requires you to spend millions and millions of dollars in campaigning when your salary is only about half a million dollars a year? Just think about that. But I digress. Go on, Soul and Black.
Well, I would say forget about trying to be the ones who are serving or serving all the time. It's good to serve, but it's better to own. Because the ones who are making the money are the ones who own it. The record companies, they make the money, not the rappers. The rappers get a little chump change.
That's true. I was going to say Chill can tell you a little bit more about that, him being a producer. But just the things that, and I agree with T. Smitty said that, and Missy even said it better when she told the kids. She didn't make her money being a rapper. She chose to write the writers,
yep,
they're writing,
that.
And her doing tracks. Dre will tell you that's why he was doing tracks, because if he wanted to charge $250,000, a quarter of a million for a track, he can do that.
Yep.
He was like, I was never known as a rapper. But like I said, I just want the kids to know there's other more things that they can be. I'm just tired of every black child. Really, Sunday, this being Sunday, every person on this phone, if you got nieces and nephew, unless I'm sure you guys instill different values, but if you ask a black kid just randomly, really, what would you like to be when you grow up? Because when we was coming up, No Single Mama's drama says, I think one of her kids, lawyer, police officers. That's what I remember as a kid, little boys in my classroom saying. They want to be a fireman, a police mm-hmm. officer, or a doctor, mm-hmm. or something like that. Nowadays, mm-hmm. that's all you hear. You got some young girls, teenagers that I talk to, if I could just get in a video girl. That wow, that's your goal. Really?
There ain't no money in that.
I ran into a
lady several years ago, and that was her dream, to be a lead girl on an uncut
exactly.
video.
Wow.
I couldn't even
How old
the,
was she, Ronan?
She was 27, and she was
old
wow.
And she looked like a busted water heater, but that's a whole other thing. But
wow.
But when you talk to kids, they need to learn how to, when you ask them that question, what do you want to be? They need to respond by, I want to be respected. I want to be someone who can be cool with themselves and what they want to be. I mean, just a job and an occupation. You got to find out what your calling in life is. If you find something that you can do freely, you can lose yourself into it and you can do it for free. If you wanted to, that is possibly your calling. Some love art, some like drawing, some like dancing, some do all those kind of things. You got to get in touch with what it is that you have within you, the greatness within you, and maximize that stuff. You know, you don't want to be content with just a job. A job can drain you and pretty much make you resent life. When you have your calling, it's never work. You enjoy yourself. You have fun. You can get up energized. You can't wait to do it again. So you have to know the difference between a calling, a career, and a job.
That's true. I had asked a young girl that at 8 what she wanted to be. She said, I just want to be loved. I was like, wow.
That's powerful.
Yeah, it is.
That hurt.
Yeah, that kind of, that got the little frog in my throat when she told me. I was like, wow. But again, when you being moved from foster care and different, she was like, Miss Shonda, I just want to be loved. And I have to tell her, baby, you are. You are. She was like, no, I'm not. But that's what I want to be. When she grow up, she just want to be loved.
It's a start. Basics are important. And then the parents need to understand that when you have children, it's not about you anymore. Give them everything that
man,
you never
had. Ain't
that
the truth? But how many people, man, that is so true, Warner. But really, can anybody on this phone tell me how many times if you heard a mother say, but what about me? Mama got a lot. If I hear one more woman say that with kids, y'all going to hear me from wherever state y'all at because I'm a scream.
You cannot call them women or men if they start saying that phrase.
Well, you right, a grown child having kids. You right.
They're being
grown
selfish
child.
And they do the childish things. They leave their kids in the house by themselves while they go out there chasing dudes in the club. Or even they'll even try to, and they happen in, unfortunately, in Alabama or Mississippi, where they left to try to put a baby in the coat room. They don't care.
Lord. Because we don't.
And no single mama drama said that's what we have to understand. Whenever you didn't get as a child, that's what you're seeking.
Well,
yeah, I believe that too.
A lot
of
platinum.
I tell you this. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, there's a lot of us who have dreams and aspirations of being fathers, and we're putting a lot of things into practice. We're being very discerning about who you want to have a legacy with. You have to be very cautious about who you invest your time into, because there's some people who are just here for a short term. Sometimes they're only there for a season. If they're there for a lifetime, you'll find out for yourself.
Exactly.
You know, Platinum, I tell you this. That's what I always said. When they say, well, Daddy's not around, I say, hey, if both parents in a home and neither one of them, excuse my language, worth the shit, what does it really matter? And that's the thing. You know, these parents, a lot of these people had these kids at home. They live with these kids every day. May buy them new Jordans. May buy them a house of Darion. But give two craps about them.
That's true.
They there every day. They see them every day.
But you know the sad thing,
but they don't care.
But I was going to say, but some parents think that's doing something material. That's something, and I love my sister. I'm not trying to call her out, but this is something I have to say to her over and over again.
The
material things, you have to spend
the
quality time. You
give
have
them,
to spend.
Give them reasons to believe in living.
Yeah.
Those are the most important things you can give them.
Yeah.
That's the difference between a parent and a caregiver.
And not just living, man, but to love your life, man, to really love it.
That's it. But to give them everything because you feel bad because either maybe you wasn't there or I know I'm not spending time. Because I tell my sister, my niece have more than some grown people paying bills, paying rent have. By the time she was 9, she had her own cell phone, room hooked up, Blu-ray, this and that. I mean, bedroom is off the chain. Every technology laptop she has since she was about 12 or 13, to where you have some adults don't even own a laptop and work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I have to tell some people.
By the way, folks, we just had someone raise their hand up. We got S. Dot from Brooklyn. His hand is up. S. Dot, your line is open, and I know you are a concerned father, so I know you got something to add to this.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Queen. Good
How
afternoon,
you,
Don, and everyone else.
Good afternoon.
This is a touching topic. I mean, when I look, for instance, I have a nephew who's 10 years old, same age as my daughter, and my sister's going through hell with him acting out in school. They've given him any and everything that you can imagine you can give to a little boy. In fact, he's like little Richie Rich. And his dad grew up, you know, underprivileged in the projects, and now he's kind of a blue-collar guy but makes a lot of money. and he doesn't know how to relate to his son. All he does is say, well, I didn't have a bike when I was young, so he buys him a bike. Well, I didn't have these video games when I was young, so he buys him every video game imaginable, but yet and still, my nephew continues to act out in school and do all these things because he's crying for attention. And I think that it's rather sad that whenever I sit down and I talk to him, the father, he makes all of these excuses because he thinks that because he's buying him all this stuff, that that matters. And at the end of the day, what my nephew says to him, I don't care about the video games. Why don't you just go to the park with me and play football or something? And
right.
It's because he does not know how to parent. He just always brags and boasts about what his son has, but he recently got his feelings hurt because his son went to another man and said, you're more like my dad than my dad is. And his dad was embarrassed to hear his son say that right in front of his face.
You know what?
Because this other man will play football with him or, you know, try to help him with his homework. And that's really sad.
You know,
remember the time.
You say that because I got that. I came to find out because I have a son, too. He's a grown man now, though. But when he was in his teens, I used to coach the football, you know, his football teams and stuff like that. And he had his friends come over. And I remember he used to have a lot of boys come over to the house, man. It was like, yo. And one time the boy said, you know what? We love your dad. I heard them in there talking. They're like, we love your dad because, man, your dad is the coolest, man. He would talk to him. He would chill with him and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, man. There's a lot of kids, man, who would just, they really do, they gravitate to the presence of those who aren't parents.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we got to recognize, even though they may have a parent, the thing that they're starving for, we could say it's mentorship or whatever you want to call it, but we might be filling that gap quite naturally, and we shouldn't fight that. We shouldn't fight because they need it. They need it, man. If they need it, then give it to them. Give it to them.
You know something, though, so, you know, man, when you're saying that, I always, it's like, I got to like a friend of mine, and she was talking about, like, how the dad can't really pay, don't pay child support and stuff. And I asked, was he spending time? He said, yeah. And I said, hey, I know the child support thing is one thing. But I said, that kid is going to remember that time spent more than anything. And I was sold that football game. We got a civilian, a black dude. He coached pop, like, youth league football. He was saying, like, he'll call those kids up, like your single-parent homes, and a kid get in trouble, he get on them. And they're like, yeah, sorry, coach. I won't do it again, coach, like that. He's like a father figure to them. So I see where guys are coming from. And those kids just want that. You don't have – like, just coaching football goes a long way.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that, too, Ezdot, because No Single Mama Drama said kids remember how much time you invest in them. And really, like you said, Ezdot, that's why they act out. You can give a child everything that they want, but it means nothing if you're not giving them quality time. It means absolutely nothing. And that's something my niece said to me. She was like, T.T., I wish she was my mama, even though my sister gave her everything. But she calls me every day. I'm 3,000 miles away, but she knows nothing that she cannot call, talk to me about, anything. This summer, she's going to come stay with me. But that's what kids want is time.
Well,
even the kids, the foster care I work with, every day I come, Miss Shonda, she was like, I'm so glad you're here because they look for me. And some of them cry when I have to leave. I'm like, but I'll see you guys tomorrow because I talk to them. I give them time. I give them hugs. I let them know that they're loved. You know, I take them to the park. I spend time with them. You know what I mean?
And while you spend time with those kids, one thing you got to, I wanted to tell the parents also, spending time with them, talking to them is good, but since the topic is what do you value, we have to instill to those kids the importance of having character. I mean, you know, I know we talk a lot about parents who care more about buying their kids the latest Jordans and PS3s instead of paying attention to their grades, but more important than telling them to make good grades, you also got to teach them the importance of, you know, having character, making sure that when you work hard at the job, you don't just do it just because you want that, just for the adulation that you're going to get the good grades or the paycheck. You want to teach them the notion that if it's your responsibility, then you do the best job you can for the sake of excellence, like Solon Black said earlier. You teach them the fact that there is right, there is wrong. Sometimes when you make a choice to do the right thing, it might cost you popularity, it might cost you money, but that, you know, the importance of doing the right thing. And teach them that when it comes to money, yes, it's good to have money so you can meet your basic needs and stuff, have the comforts of life, but it's better to have your money through hard work that you did honestly than to have easy money through ill-gotten means. Whether it's slinging dope, whether it's doing some hacking, whether it's the falsifying paperwork, you're better off working hard for that money that you'll value more than the money you got through illegal means. Now, one of you guys back
that's
me
true,
up here.
Don,
I'm not a parent
and let
yet.
Me say this. And you saying value, that's true, but what I'm saying to the kids, how can they value? And this is why I appreciate every man on this phone. S-Dot just called in and said that. Solon Black, Ronan, T. Smitty. Everybody, Abe, I appreciate, because I'm going to tell you why. The kids that me and BC always talk about, who going to teach them value? Who don't have an adult to teach them value? A parent who's in foster care? This is what I'm saying. So you're right. Hard work is the key, the answer, and the self-respect, and to teach them love. But when you don't have an adult there, you being moved from foster home to foster home to foster home, who going to teach you that value? When, let's just be honest, some parents or foster parents get these kids strictly for money, for them. They don't give a damn about instilling value in a kid that ain't theirs. I'm just being honest. I'm saying things that people thinking that don't want to say. But these are the kids that I'm dealing with that I'm seeing every day.
Well, let me say, I'm sorry, go ahead, brother.
I got to hear you start it first. I'm sorry.
What I think is that there needs to be a communication paradigm shift. Unfortunately, as Nye says, a lot of these so-called adults are stuck in their second childhood. But what we need to do, those who are responsible, who are trying to make a difference, they need to amplify their voice, because the kids are listening if they can hear something that speaks with relevance and is meeting them wherever they are. The problem is that people are being out-marketed by those who are showing them negativity. I mean, you have people who are living a degenerate lifestyle. They're very vocal and visible in terms of marketing their degenerate behavior to our young children. Those who are doing something constructive and productive, they need to be a lot more proactive in bringing attention to the things that they are doing, because young people aren't dumb people. Young people want to succeed just like anyone else. I was talking to my woman's 17-year-old son yesterday, and he's very much wants to be in the music industry. I left the music industry. So he's constantly trying to get on me to get him, hook him up with a producer and all this other stuff. But he has a very poor work ethic. You know, he's not focused in school. He's a good-looking kid, according to all the little young girls, you know. And for the most part, his parents were working-class parents who worked themselves out of, you know, to the projects to have really good jobs and make a considerable amount of money. And he just thinks like, you know, every week somebody's going to put $100 in his account, $200 in on his debit card, and, you know, buy him UGG boots and all this other stuff, and he thinks that being good-looking is enough. He tells my daughter, who's 10 years old, that, you know, he's going to be rich, you know, when he gets out of high school, but we find out last week he's not graduating this year because he had a number of opportunities to take several exams, which he's always said, I'm going to do it next month, I'm going to do it next month. So yesterday I showed him this DVD, Born Rich, which I think most people should show teenagers. And it talks about a minority that most people don't know about, those who gain unearned wealth, unearned privilege, the kids of the Bloombergs and all of that and so forth. And for him to be able to hear these young people who supposedly were born with silver spoons in their mouths saying they're confused, they don't know what to do, they don't have any direction, I think that it put it in perspective for him to recognize that just having money isn't enough, because today he woke up with a different focus. You know, he woke up, I saw him sitting at the table with that book open today, whereas yesterday all he thought is all he had to do was hook up with Kanye or run into Jay-Z on the street. But, you know, we've got to change the paradigm shift and teach these children or show these children an example of people who have a work ethic and stop being out-marketed by those who are on TV or on videos, because the reality is 9 times out of 10, most of them are not going to make it as rappers. They're not going to make it as entertainers. And sadly, a lot of them are going to fall through the cracks. So that's what I think.
Well, I can speak on that if I can kind of go into the media image. There was a show called Lincoln Heights, and it was kind of like, I'm used to Good Times format, for example, if you know what I mean by, if you've seen the show Lincoln Heights and Good Times, you can link the paradigms to that, the parallelism to it. And that show lasted 4 seasons, but it never got, like, you know, publicity like a lot of other shows like The Game did. And both shows got canceled in, what, 2009? But The Game came back on because everybody knew. Nobody knew Lincoln Heights got canceled, but Lincoln Heights had 2 black parents raising 3 children. And I'm a sack in a less than, I'm a sack in a bad neighborhood. And not a 3 of the children was on drugs or anything. And each of, like, you know, doing productive things. Like, you know, one was learning about music. One was, like, you know, being an artist. One was learning about how to help the community. But they never put that show, like, on the mainstream like that. On, like, you know, commercialized. But The Game got all the pub, if you ever notice. I'm just saying.
Hey, guys, I don't mean to cut in, but Ronan was, I guess he had lost the feed. He's back on the line. And also, we got Erica 770 who put their hand up. I opened the line if you want to speak. We got about 8 minutes left.
Hey, what's up? What's up, people?
Hey, hey, yo.
What's up?
It's Kevin with the middleman. What's going on, y'all?
Oh,
Kevin.
Oh, glad you called in, middleman. You've been putting some excellent points in the chat room, by the way.
Hey, appreciate it. Y'all have an excellent show today. Great show today. I mean, it's very thought-provoking. I mean, one thing I noticed is that in our age group, and I know everybody on this phone is possibly close to my age, so it seems like we are not knowing how to teach the next generation what they need to know, because a lot of us haven't been taught. Now, we did a show a little while ago called Rebuilding the Village, and I know we got to go back and redo it, because I think that's the point that we are at, where we're at right now, because we definitely need to go back and rebuild our village, if y'all understand what I'm saying. Because we definitely need to go back to that each one teach one mentality, because everybody on this phone, everything that I've heard on this show is an example of us teaching each other, because I heard some things I didn't know.
I got to clap for you on that, middleman. I love you. Can you say that again? Because that's something me and Rona been said, middleman, when I said that, people called in. I ain't taking care of no kid, ain't mine. I said, it take a village. I'm telling you, you would be shocked. People got upset when I said that. I said, it take a village to raise a child. They lost their minds.
They gone crazy, man. They gone crazy because if they don't realize, if you don't teach that young man that's next to you, he shall fall in the cracks and become a part of the system that they want all our young men and women to fall into. So we definitely need to stand up and take care of the kids and take care of our communities. I mean, a small pebble can start an avalanche.
If we don't take care of the kids are going to take care of you and take care of you in a way in which you don't like.
Exactly.
If you don't take care of these kids, you're going to meet that kid one day outside of an ATM, and it's going to be a problem for you.
Exactly.
So we got to do something. And, you know, one of the things that I recognize that as people, we have a powerful platform, such as Blog Talk Radio, as well as YouTube. And YouTube is a very powerful platform because I know young kids who are students of YouTube University. You know, they just watch videos on YouTube all day long. And not enough content is instructive content that speaks to them in a relevant voice to them. So in New York, I have a group of young people, 12 young people, and, you know, I introduced them to the work of Neely Fuller Jr. And I introduced them to it by letting them listen to Neely Fuller Jr. on CDs. I would download, he's been on a lot of Blog Talk shows. I download the shows, burn them the CDs. They put them on MP3s. They listen. They thought it was cool that this old guy would always say, follow the logic, follow the logic. So I started teaching these young people how to become critical thinkers, how to use logic in everyday life. So from that, we developed a workshop called Follow the Logic. And a lot of these young people are very media savvy. They know how to build websites. They know how to edit video. So I said to them, let's put together a group where we can do 10-minute segments, follow the logic. You guys come up with the whatever the problem is, and you can demonstrate to your peers how to follow the logic in dealing with everyday problems. And it's just as simple as that. I'm nobody more special than anyone else. Anyone else can take their platform, whether it's Blog Talk Radio, take your shows and cut your shows down into 10-minute segments and upload that audio and add video on YouTube and start disseminating this information. The young people are out there looking for it, and you can put the information out there. Just like this conversation that we're having, you can just as easily edit it there. Edit it down to a 10-minute segment, upload it to YouTube, put images that pertain to whatever the topic that we're talking about on the screen, so that, because young people are very visual, and,
That's true.
This creates a buzz, and it creates an opportunity for a young person to now say, okay, well, I'm going to log on to the Platinum Queen's Blog Talk show every Sunday because, you know, I saw on on YouTube they have a lot of interesting topics. So, you know, we do have the tools. We do have the resources right here already. People on this phone are already doing it. We just got to take it to the next step.
You know what, S-Dot, I appreciate you so much for saying that because let me tell you, that's something I was telling Ronan, and it was a lady by the name of Sylvia out of New York who I said earlier in the show who was molested and sold for drugs by her mother by the age of four. She asked me, she was like, I don't listen to the radio. She said I was told to check out BTR. She was like, it's just bullshit. She said, I came across your show because we did a thing on kids. She was like, if more kids do it, if you can ask BTR once a month if they could do one just on kids, that could help them. She's 27 now. And this girl tells me by four her being molested, she was a pro at giving oral sex by the age of seven. So now she's a lesbian, and she was like, I appreciate the time and the things you're doing, you know, for kids. Because people I were asking, as Dot Middleman has said, even a caller, well, everybody know Double Up, said, why do you got to keep focusing on the kids? You need to move on with the kids. They just going to do it. They know these kids, some kids said that he called them stupid. I don't want to believe that. I want to say what he says, some of the acts that they, things that they do are stupid. But the majority of the people listen to my show are teenagers. These are the kids that drive me and say, Queen, can you do a show on this? Can you do that? You know, could you speak about this? We want to hear you guys' opinion. And S-Dot, and I appreciate you before because you called in and helped my niece tremendously. You guys took the time out to talk to her. Nobody passed judgment on her. These kids are losing their virginity at 13, 14, pregnant, having babies. So I appreciate the topics, especially S-Dot, that you do. Taz, Dad, and so many, and I keep telling Ronan, I can't wait till he come back. Middleman and people do good shows, and this is what our kids need instead of people, oh, well, I ain't got time to worry about it, other people's kids. I got my own kids. This is why the black community has fallen, because really some people just don't give a damn. They just don't care.
I want to throw something in before you guys close out. There's a website that you guys might want to check out. It's called the One Heart, oneheart.com. It's people trying to help out the kids who are having a hard time, especially those who are coming from distressed families, you know what I mean, or dysfunctional families and things like that. These kids can go over and check out that. You guys might want to go take a look at it yourselves.
And you guys, please do that. And again, I think we got like a minute left, and I think everybody for their time to give, because I know how busy you guys could be spending your free time doing other things, but I appreciate you guys' time that you've given these kids and talk to them and listen, because I get texts of them saying thank you. They appreciate everybody with the time, because like I said, I know people look at football and don't have time to be talking to the kids, and I thank everybody in the chat room, for real, Porters, Blue, Black Man, Don, Gossy, Leg Lady, all the guests, 3484, guests 4032, guests 4100, guests 4202. It's so many guests, No Single Mama Drama, and Soul in Black. And S. Dot, I appreciate you so much, and Middleman, because you guys are doing a damn thing with you guys' show, too, with the positivity, and that's what we need. And these are the shows I would gear teenagers toward. I don't tell them certain shows to listen to that I think they're not going to learn from or that they're not going to be educated from. So I thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. And, man, I just thank you guys so much for your time. You know, so much. Everybody
Shonda.
Have a good and blessed. Yes, Ron.
It's more than what you had to say matters, and what you are doing, with you, Chill, and a great number of other people are actually doing something, and it's working.
I
yes.
thank you, Ronan. And like I tell everybody, and I got to tell you, because they be now Uncle Ronan, if I tell y'all that I can call this man, I can't stress to Ronan enough. Anytime, Ronan, I need you, Ronan, talk to these kids for me. He talked to the boys. Now they be like, Queen, can you call your brother? I mean, I appreciate you so much. I mean, the emails that it hasn't been many, but when they do, Ronan answered them. He give them his time, and I thank him because he don't have kids. You know, and if more people did that, the kids would be, I really do think they would be better because some of these kids don't have male role models in their life at all, let alone father figures. They don't.
Well, They're more I'll take some of that load, too. They can contact me at soulandblack@gmail.com. I'll talk to the kids, too.
Thank you so much, Soul and Black. Man, I appreciate y'all. Y'all don't know. Because this little boy, I asked him, I said, well, babe, do you ever talk to your father? He said, oh, Miss Shonda, I got 7 uncles. I don't have a daddy, but I got 7 uncles.
Wow.
Exactly. So this is why I do what I do. This is why I speak to kids. This is why I reach out to Ronan. Like I told Ronan Tuesday, I'm going to have to call him because one of the 6-year-olds off the chain. He ain't doing good. He made a difference in the 111. He said, can you tell your brother, Ronan, I got a B. I'm going to focus on my education, like he said. And he's, you know, they in foster care, but he's going down. I see the difference. Can I help you? Do you need me to take out the trash? Anything you need me to do, Miss Shonda? And sometimes all they need is love and guidance. You know
yep.
what I mean? But when they be passed along to foster care, and some of these people just doing it for a check and not talking to them and spending time with them, but where they are now, this the best place for them because she's good. She spent time, you know, with them, take them to different programs. She now getting them tutors and things of that nature, which they never had in other foster care. They was like they got beaten before. They would get separated in a different room. They couldn't eat with the rest of the family. She had them on a plastic table. You know, and things of that, they have no utensils to eat. They had to eat with their hands. You see what I'm saying? So this is why I do what I do. This is why I talk on different shows that I do on this show. And these kids inspire me to say, you know, can you ask the adults this? And I appreciate people like, you know, as Doc called in and helped before when we had the teenager show. And Middleman, I appreciate that in Soul and Black, and I will definitely do that. I will be more than happy to pass these kids the email because sometimes I'll be like, Ronan, you got time? Can you talk to this one? And he'd be like, any time for the kids. And he'd be busy and doing a lot of things, but he'd take the time out, and he'd talk to these kids, and it's making a difference. Especially the young black men need a positive black male role model that they don't have.
I want to say something to you, Queen. I know what it's like. I was on the West Coast, and I was in that foster care system. I'm actually a success from that. So for those kids who don't think that, you know, some of these cats can relate, I can relate. I'm already a father. I know what that's all about. I also was in the foster care thing. I know what that's about, okay? So if y'all make some
Wow,
money,
you do know. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I already know. When you talk about it, I already know because I've been through it. I understand what it's about. I'm actually in the San Francisco Chronicle for something I had to go through being in one of those foster homes. But the thing about it is, you kids, you need to get a hold of me. It's Soul and Black, S-O-U-L, the letter N, B-L-A-C-K. So let's go.
Thank you so much. Because, you know, Soul and Black, then you know how even the system and some of the social workers don't even care.
Nope, they don't care.
I call so many.
They only come in there. They have a little. They generally have an evaluation for the first time. They may come back for a second evaluation to check on them, or may not.
okay? They're supposed to come uncheck and make sure things are good. They don't often
exactly.
do that. They very rarely talk to the kids, okay? That's very rare if you ever catch
that.
That
is so true.
I know. I've been through it.
And let me tell
you,
Soul in Black, this one a girl that was foster care, passed the foster care, and she came to where I'm working at now, she said that when they came, her foster parents knew the day that they would come, she would only put food in the house then and let them eat. But she said they never asked them questions, the kids. They only dealt with adults. So she said she had a lock on the refrigerator that only her and her boyfriend can eat. They would go many days hungry. But she was stacking when she knew the social worker was coming.
Yep, exactly. I know all that game. The whole
man, it's crazy.
So, you know, maybe we ought to talk about a show on that. You would blow one up on that. We need to pull the...
Man, I definitely do that and bring on some of the kids in foster care. One of the girls who's doing excellent now, who now work for the system because she got so tired of caught up in it, how they didn't care for the kids like you. And she actually did something about it. So, yeah, we can definitely do that. I would love to have you on a panel for that.
Hey, I'll be with you. Let me know. I'll be there.
Okay, thanks so much. Again, thanks, everybody. T. Smitty, Ronan, Don, Chill, S-Dot, thanks for calling in. Godsey Leg Lady, No Single Mama Drama Porters. I thank you guys. Abe, I appreciate all you guys. And they're saying thank you. And sometimes when I was muting my mic, I was talking to some of the kids because they text me or I answer my cell phone, and they thank you guys and appreciate it. We definitely going to do that, Soul in Black. We definitely going to do that for the kids. Thank you guys again for your time and speaking to them and talking to them. I mean, God bless. Everybody have a good and blessed Sunday.
You too.
Thanks.